Good day, this is Greg, and I'll be reading the Vermilion County News for Tuesday, October 7th, 2025. And from the front page of the commercial news, the first story today is Brzee Bar back on council agenda. This is by Christy Jankowski. Danville. The opening of the Brzee Bar is again on the agenda for the city council on Tuesday night. The restaurant was delayed at the last meeting because of a language change in the wording of the contract. The building owner, Ashton Greer, said the reason the council has the restaurant on the agenda is to get help with funding for the necessary items to make the kitchen fully functional for the Brzee Bar. The purpose of the redevelopment agreement was to bridge the gap between installing the hood, Greer said. They had to change the language between the restaurant owners and the city for the redevelopment agreement. There was just too long a term in there for them to pay the taxes, so they made that adjustment. One of the owners, Deanna Turner, said she hopes even with the delay, they will be able to open sometime in November. I am ready to get this show on the road, she said. I think we have all of our ducks in a row, so we are just waiting on that. Deanna added, we are calling around and taking care of that, so that's why we're asking for their help, because it's going to be pricey, of course, and it would be easier for us if we had some help. I already have called the electricians, and they said they hope to hear from me on Wednesday. Both Turner and Greer agreed that the new restaurant will revitalize downtown Danville. I think everybody in the area will do well. Everyone will benefit from having us down there, Turner said. There is a lot that downtown Danville has to offer, and hopefully this will inspire someone else to open up something else with a lot more traffic. Danville Mayor Ricky Williams Jr. is also excited about the new addition. To have these folks making that come to life, I am really excited, Williams said. And their menu looks really good, too. And I like that they have the local theme, with some of the drinks named after our local celebrities. I think that is pretty cool. Greer said she and her mother bought the building at the beginning of 2024. We bought the building about a year and a half ago, and it's been undergoing extensive renovation. So every single system, walls, heating, electronics, floors, literally everything has been brought to brand new, Greer said. It used to be a pharmacy a long time ago, and it sat vacant. Greer added that the downtown portion of Danville needs more eateries. Our downtown doesn't have a lot of good food options, and it is probably the most needed resource downtown. Even though it has been a really hard project for us, it is definitely something worthwhile and will benefit Danville greatly, Greer said. Turner added that the menu is full of gluten-free and dairy-free options, as well as mocktails for drinks. We will have gluten-free options and dairy as well. We will have tofu on our menu, she said. Turner is really hoping the agenda item passes Tuesday night. I have a lot of ideas. I'm constantly thinking of ways to bring people in, so I have a lot of ideas on what to do for certain nights, Turner said. And hopefully, we will be open during the football season, because I have a lot of plans for that. Turner added that the restaurant will be serving up history lessons in a fun way. I have two or three drinks right now that are going to be named after the local celebrities in the town. For instance, a Gin Hackman instead of a Gene Hackman. You will leave knowing a little bit more about Danville history. There are also mocktail options for those avoiding alcohol. Turner added that there also might be donut holes for purchase in the mornings. As for keeping the downtown area alive, Greer is hoping to do so with the Brzee Bar and other opportunities. This is the third property that we have bought and brought to full restoration downtown. A lot of our downtown buildings are deteriorating and being torn down, said Greer. So for us, the main aim in all of it is to revitalize our downtown area and support small businesses. And currently, they have a building off of North Vermilion that will soon be ready for a new business. The building has undergone many renovations, according to Greer, including a new roof, paint, basement, cleanup, and more. While there isn't a date yet for a buyer, Greer said, it should be ready very soon. Our contractor is putting the finishing touches on it now as we speak. Our next story from the front page is Drought Conditions Heighten Fire Risks. And this is by Christy Jankowski. Extreme drought conditions and very dry brush have fire officials reminding people to burn safely this season. If it were up to us, every day would be a burn ban, said Tim McFadden, fire inspector for the Danville Fire Department. The less people burn, the less chance of an emergency. However, the county is not under a technical burn ban, despite multiple field fires in the last week within the East Central Illinois region, including three last Thursday and Friday in Vermilion County. As far as the city goes, we are just under normal burning restrictions, McFadden said. Of course, we discourage people from burning with the dry conditions. As far as I know, we have not put any official ban on it yet. McFadden said a lot of fires are started by discarded cigarettes. We've had a few fires over the last few years at restaurants that have mulch around their landscaping outside, McFadden said. And people just flick their cigarette butts and it falls into that mulch and catches fire, which eventually catches the building on fire as well. McFadden added that if you do carelessly discard a cigarette, you can be ticketed. With Fire Prevention Safety Month, the department is also kicking off school visits to educate students in the area. McFadden says those visits have actually saved lives. We have actually had a couple of circumstances in the last couple of years where the kid used the program to help get their family out during an emergency, McFadden said. They pay attention. Governor J.B. Pritzker has also proclaimed this week as Fire Prevention Week in Illinois. The Illinois State Fire Marshal shared on Facebook the proclamation with multiple posts of advice on how to stay safe. They stressed checking your devices powered by lithium-ion batteries. Lithium-ion batteries power almost every electronic device we use today. However, if they're damaged or not charged properly, they can pose a serious fire risk, posted the state fire marshal on Facebook, adding links for safety tips to reduce the risk of fire. Danville Fire Department is participating in a statewide smoke alarm installation blitz during the week of October 19th through the 25th. And our final story from the front page today is from Capital News Illinois. And it's titled, Troops Called In, 300 National Guardsmen Being Sent to Chicago. And this is by Hannah Meisel and Brendan Moore. A federal judge on Monday declined to immediately block the Trump administration from sending National Guard troops to Chicago, but she strongly urged federal officials to hold off deploying guardsmen until Thursday, when she will hear arguments in the case. Hours earlier, the state of Illinois and city of Chicago sued the administration after weekend news that Trump would federalize 300 members of the Illinois National Guard over Governor J.B. Pritzker's objections, in addition to sending troops from the Texas National Guard. The White House claims the deployment is necessary to protect federal immigration agents and facilities after several clashes with protesters in recent weeks. But Pritzker and other Democratic leaders warn it would just escalate tensions. In a brief hearing Monday afternoon, U.S. District Judge April Perry said she was very troubled by the Justice Department's attorney's inability to answer her questions about where the guardsmen would be deploying and what exactly they would be doing. "If I were the federal government, I'd strongly urge holding off until Thursday," she said of the plan to activate troops, but she added, "It's up to them." During the hearing, the Department of Justice confirmed that members of the Texas National Guard were scheduled to board a plane for Chicago at 4 p.m. But Attorney Jean Lynn said those out-of-state guardsmen would not be in position to perform their federal protective mission until Tuesday at the earliest. Members of the Illinois National Guard would similarly not be mobilized until later this week, pending pre-mission trainings, Lynn said. Christopher Wells of the Illinois Attorney General's office pleaded with Perry to grant some form of interim relief before Thursday's hearing. He pointed to the level of disregard the administration has shown to a federal judge in Oregon, who over the weekend ruled Trump's deployment of the National Guard to Portland exceeded his authority. Despite two rulings from the Trump-appointed judge, the feds have mobilized guardsmen anyway from California and Texas to the West Coast city. This is all part of a concerted effort to target disfavored jurisdictions that the president doesn't like, Wells said, urging a temporary restraining order before the federal government hostily deploys troops from another state to a sister and equally sovereign state. Though she denied his request, Perry sided with Wells' contention that the Trump administration's request for an entire week to respond to the lawsuit was ridiculous, given they have been planning this for months. But since neither Perry nor the DOJ lawyers have been able to read all 500 pages of the state and city's legal filings, the judge said she would delay her ruling. "It's unclear to me, frankly, whether they're even going to be deployed between now and Thursday. And I mean deployed in the non-military sense," Perry said. "Whether they will be out on the street and engaging in activity, I simply don't know that, and neither do you." Before adjourning, the judge told Wells she's hopeful that the state won't see any of the nonsense you've been worried about between now and Thursday. But she said filing evidence of any altercations between National Guard troops and civilians would likely strengthen the state and city's case. Despite weeks of Trump threats to call in the National Guard, Pritzker and Attorney General Kwame Raoul said at a news conference on Monday afternoon they could not file a lawsuit until after the troops were actually federalized. Pritzker, surrounded by state, local, and federal elected officials in Chicago, repeatedly cast the deployment of federalized National Guard troops as an invasion of the nation's third-largest city. The governor further said actions by Immigration and Customs Enforcement agents since the launch of Operation Midway Blitz on September 8th have led to an escalation of violence in a targeted and intentional and premeditated way. He said this was to create a pretext for Trump to invoke the Insurrection Act of 1807, a statutory exception to the Posse Comitatus Act, the 1878 law banning federal troops from participating in domestic law enforcement. "I refuse to let Donald Trump, Kristi Noem, and Gregory Bovino continue on this march toward autocracy," Pritzker said. "Their plan all along has been to cause chaos, and then they can use that chaos to consolidate Donald Trump's power. They think they can fool us all into thinking that the way to get out of the crisis that they created is to give them free rein. That plan will only work if we let it." Pritzker, who last week urged state residents to record their interactions with federal agents, and to post it on social media, so showed video examples of interactions in recent weeks. They included the fallout from a raid on an apartment building in Chicago's South Shore neighborhood, the handcuffing of Chicago aide Jesse Fuentes by immigration agents, and lingering questions over the shooting and killing of an undocumented Franklin Park man by an on-duty ICE agent. Pritzker said the state will use every lever at our disposal to resist this power grab and get Noam's thugs the hell out of Chicago. "I am not afraid. I am not afraid, and I won't back down," he said. And now we're going to briefly turn to the obituaries for Tuesday, October 7th. And it looks like we only have two today. The first one is for Ronald L. Howard. Ronald L. Howard, or Ron, 90, of Freeport, Illinois, went to his eternal reward on October 2nd, 2025, after a long illness. There will be no funeral, as Ron and Phyllis arranged many years ago for their bodies to be donated to medical science. There will be a memorial at a later date. A memorial has been established as Ron Howard Memorial, Green State Credit Union, 510 South Park Crest Drive, Freeport, Illinois, 61032. Tyrone J. O'Reilly. Tyrone J. O'Reilly, 87, of Westville, Illinois, passed away peacefully at his home on October 3rd, 2025. Services will be held on October 8th at 12 p.m. at Sunset Funeral Home at 414 South State Street in Westville, with a visitation prior on October 8th from 10 a.m. to 12 p.m. at Sunset Funeral Home. Burial will take place in Spring Hill Cemetery in Danville, Illinois. And that's the end of the obituaries. Turning back to some other local news from the commercial news, we have Danville man charged with first-degree murder. And this is a staff report. Danville. A Danville man has been arrested and charged with first-degree murder in the November 2024 triple shooting in the 1900 block of East Main Street. Tragically, the shooting claimed the lives of Keith G. Stone, 33, of Danville, and a 17-year-old juvenile. A third victim sustained injuries but was released from the hospital. According to a release from the Danville Police Department, the Vermilion County State's Attorney's Office, Danville Police, announces that approximately at 9:04 a.m. on Monday, an arrest was made in connection with this double homicide. Jacqueline Lacey, the Vermilion County State's Attorney, has charged Keyshawn J. Cotton, 21, of Danville, with first-degree murder and aggravated battery with a firearm. Additionally, a warrant for first-degree murder has been issued for a 17-year-old juvenile suspect currently in custody on unrelated charges. The suspect's identity is being withheld pending formal processing on the warrant for first-degree murder and aggravated battery with a firearm. On November 25th, at approximately 2:45 p.m., police were dispatched to the 1900 block of East Main Street for a report of shots fired and several victims injured. Officers arrived to find one shooting victim on the scene and learned two other victims were transported to a local hospital by personal vehicles. The Illinois State Police assisted Danville Police in processing the crime scene and gathering evidence. Next up, we have a sports page story from Marvin Holman titled Danville Loses Homecoming Game. Danville. The Danville football team had an electric start to Friday's homecoming game, but as the game went on, Champagne Central stole all of the Vikings' energy and got the 36-14 win. After we started with the energetic play and was able to come out on top, we still have to come up with some plays, Danville coach Marcus Forrest said. They started to make plays and they were aggressive, and we ended up passive and waiting. You can't wait and be passive and let someone make plays, because when you do that, they're going to, and when it snowballs, you stay in that mentally. It is my job to work on that, and the selfishness to leave someone to making a play and not blaming anyone when things don't go well. Our job as coaches is to criticize and correct, and their job is to encourage and lift up for the next play, and I have to focus on doing that. The energy came on the first play when DeMario Jackson returned the opening kickoff 90 yards for a 7-0 lead for the Vikings. It was a great way to start, Jackson said. I came out here hoping to win. I saw the hole open, and I turned on the jets and scored. You have to play it when it comes to you. The Vikings would end the first quarter with that 7-0 lead before Champaign Central got going with a blocked punt into the end zone that led to a safety. The Maroons followed that up with a 1-yard touchdown run by Zaire Aker to take an 8-7 lead. It was at that time that Forrest said instead of trying to get that back, the team got into a different mentality. Something I focused on in practice is a moment of expectation and expecting to make things and go well and not waiting for the bottom to drop out, Forrest said. When we were down 8-7, by the body language we showed, you would have thought you would be down 30-7. It is getting out of that mentality about what else bad is going to happen and being passive. We have to be confident in knowing our jobs and each other so you can make plays as a team. Mental mistakes, like bad snaps, missed tackles, and penalties, did not help Danville get out of its mindset as the Maroons scored again for a 14-7 halftime lead. It wasn't a matter of effort, Forrest said. He, Danville's center, wanted to make plays. They had two linemen that were pretty good, and we wanted to get to the block and make a play. He was disengaged from his first responsibility. When we talked to him and got him under control, the snaps were better. There were tough kids in tough situations, and we had those problems a couple of times, and we have to get better. Little mistakes let us mentally down, and we let the mental part take over, Jackson said. We have to change what we do mentally in the game and stay strong. Tackling is learning how to wrap them up and not let them keep bouncing off. There was a lot of arm tackling going on, and we have to wrap them up at the legs. The Maroons scored 6 in the third and 18 in the fourth quarter, but the Vikings got some back when Aiden Henderson hit Jaden Rowell for a 29-yard touchdown pass. They don't give up, and I try to make sure and understand that we are going to play well into the end, Forrest said. Whether you buy in or not, I am not going to continue to fight until the last bell sounds. Rather, I am going to continue to fight until the last bell sounds. I think through that, we made some plays, and if we could build on those things, it should transfer to the next week. The Vikings are 1-5, and will take on Normal Community on Friday. The Ironmen are 6-0 and are leading the Big 12. This was one of those games we wanted to win, and we came up short. It was a tough loss, Jackson said. We are going to put up a good fight, though, against Normal Community. It is another week of getting better and staying strong. Each week is a tough week. We went from last week with Crete to this week, and next week is Normal Community, who is undefeated, and they are a consistent program, Forrest said. They are one of the teams you aspire to try to be because they're able to compete as a big level. It is another tough task, and they have to work hard and play together. And if you can't buy in, we can have some good situations. If we can't, you'll have situations like tonight. You know it is going to be a battle no matter what, and if we focus on ourselves and not turn the ball over and minimize their plays, we'll give them a good game and see what happens. And that will be my task this upcoming week. And returning now to the local and state pages, we have some more community articles. This next one is a staff report titled Danville Fire Participates in Smoke Alarm Installation Blitz. Danville. The Danville Fire Department will participate in a statewide smoke alarm installation blitz during the week of October 19th through the 25th, according to a news release from the department. As part of the Be Alarmed program, our firefighters will be installing free smoke alarms to eligible residents within the city of Danville, said Danville Fire Chief Aaron Marcotte. Be Alarmed is a fire safety education and smoke alarm installation program administered cooperatively between Camp IME and the Office of the Illinois State Fire Marshal. Danville residents can schedule their smoke alarm installation through the department's recently launched Community Connect program, and that is available at www.communityconnect.io/info/IL-Danville. Having properly functioning smoke alarms in your home is essential to keeping your family safe. According to the NFPA, the death rate per 1,000 home structure fires is approximately 60% lower in homes with working smoke alarms than in homes with no alarms or none that operated. And another staff report, the City of Danville will close a portion of Cleveland Avenue for storm sewer replacement on Tuesday, October 7th. Cleveland Avenue from Kentucky Avenue to Delaware Avenue will be closed to all through traffic starting at 7 a.m. The closure will last approximately a week. Motorists and pedestrians should choose an alternate route to avoid delays, and they should use caution while traveling near the roadway closure corridors. And we have another staff report. This one is titled Danville Native Joins California Highway Patrol. West Sacramento, California. Drew Galantine of Danville has successfully completed cadet training at the California Highway Patrol Academy. Galantine, a graduate of Illinois State University, where he studied criminal justice and sociology, and West Carroll High School, worked with the Vermilion County Sheriff's Department. At the CHP Academy, cadet training starts with nobility in policing, leadership, professionalism, ethics, and cultural diversity. Training also includes mental illness response and crisis intervention techniques. Cadet instruction covers patrol operations, crash investigation, first aid, and the arrest of suspected violators, including those who drive under the influence of alcohol or drugs. The cadets also receive training in traffic control, report writing, recovery of stolen vehicles, assisting the motoring public, issuing citations, emergency scene management, and knowledge of various codes, including the vehicle code, penal code, and health safety code. And finally, Rob Givert, the executive director of the Boys and Girls Club of Danville, will speak to the Danville Lions Club at noon on Thursday, October 9th. The Lions Club meets at Spanky's Banquet Hall at 409 East Main in Danville. And that takes us to the end of our time for this Tuesday, October 7th, 2025. As always, it's been a pleasure to read for you, and I hope that you have a splendid day. Take care.